Why don't we share a word of prayer? Amen. Father, we thank you for tonight and thank you for this beautiful opportunity to be here. Thank you for the chance to share the word of God. I pray, Lord, that you will bless us, open our eyes to see wondrous things out of your law. I pray for the help of the Holy Spirit in teaching, hearing, and understanding your word in the name of Jesus. I pray that this church will never be the same. Amen. After tonight, tomorrow, and the next day, Lord, that you will visit us mightily and help us, lift us to another level. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Let no individual be the same. Challenge us through your word and help us to live by it. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you very much. And it's a blessing to be here tonight. Amen. I have been looking forward to coming to visit you for a long time. Yeah. And somehow I have not had the opportunity to do so. And I think when we did, we moved the dates again and all that. But the good thing is that I'm here. Amen. Yeah, the good thing is I'm here, and it's a blessing to be here. And it's a blessing to visit your amazing temple. Right? That took forever to put together, but it came together. Amen. See, it's a prophetic message to you that whatever is taking time in your life to happen, do not give up on it, because it will surely come to pass. Amen. Say amen. Amen. And I think that you guys have been blessed. We thank God for Pastor Paul's life and everything he went through to provide you with such a place of worship. Amen. And now that you have a nice place, the next thing is to fill it, isn't it? Till it overflows. What do you think? And I believe that is exactly what's going to happen in Jesus' name. If you believe it, shout amen.
Amen.
All right. I bring you greetings from L.A. That's where I live. So I'm coming from L.A. But before that, I was traveling a little bit. We just had a camp with our bishop, our papa himself, in three of them in Namibia. From Namibia, we went to Maputo in Mozambique, and then from Mozambique to Botswana. Wow. And do you know where these places are? Yeah. You need a map. Right. So get a map and you know where all these places are. Amen. But there are places in the world. They are mostly in the southern part of Africa. And, you know, we have very big and large churches over there also. Amen. See, Jesus sent us to the world. Amen. And the world is greater than America. America is part of the world. But Jesus sent us beyond America. Do you see what I'm saying? If there were 100 people in the world, if the whole world had only 100 people in it, only 5 of them would come for America. So America is like 5% of the world. Can you imagine that? So there's a whole big world out there. Amen. And by the grace of God, our church has been blessed to be working in all of these places. Hallelujah. And so I'm praying that one of these days God will grant you an opportunity to travel and go and visit a lighthouse church in another city. Say amen if you believe it. How many would like such an opportunity Yes, I see that coming your way one of these days. In Jesus' name, say amen. All right. So tonight, we don't have a lot of time. It's already 9 o'clock. And so I'm going to share with you for a short time. And tomorrow we're going to continue. And hopefully tomorrow you will come earlier. I will come earlier. And then together we can start off early and have a great longer time together. What do you think? Is it a good idea? All right. But I want to share with you about building a mega church. Building the church of God. Amen. I feel strongly that that is what we must share and talk about during this powerful 3-day convention that the Lord has given us. Amen. Amen. Now, I don't know what you're expecting me to preach about. I hope you're not disappointed that I'm going to talk about the church. But if you understand what I'm about to share with you, or if you understand the Bible, or if you understand God and what He's trying to do, then you will realize that perhaps the most important subject and the most important and most rewarding engagement for any individual is to build the church of God. Hallelujah. To build the church of God. The church of God is also called the house of God. Hallelujah. Now, everything, everybody's life actually depends largely on the house that they have built for themselves. Do you see what I'm saying? The house that you build for yourself determines what you get to enjoy. Do you see? If you build a very small or buy a very small, tight house that barely fits you yourself, then your life also takes on a certain shape. Do you see? Yeah. If you build a house that has a swimming pool in it, you enjoy the swimming pool. Exactly. You see, you will not be one of those complaining when it gets hot. You see, I know it gets really hot here, does it? Yeah, it gets really hot here. I mean, well, and it gets really hot in California too, you know. And I think we have some kind of similar weather. Yeah, we at the ends are warm and nice and hot sometimes. And then we left the freezing for those in the middle. Hallelujah. But if you build a house with a swimming pool, then when it gets really hot, everybody else will be complaining, but you won't see what the fuss is all about. You will not understand why everyone is complaining, because you have a house that accommodates you very well when it's very hot. Do you understand? If you build a house with one bathroom, well, you're going to find that it makes a difference. Do you understand? The day the family eats something they shouldn't eat. Do you get it? And every tummy in the house is upset. You know, then you're going to find there's going to be a long line. Do you see what I'm saying? Because you built a house with only one restroom, so we can only use one at a time. Do you understand? That's where we're going to use seniority to determine who goes to the restroom, you know? Yeah. And if you have one of these siblings who go to the restroom and they sit there forever. Yeah. Reading books, playing video games, you know, when you're just trotting outside the door, you know. That's what is going to happen to you because you built that kind of a house. Do you understand? Or bought for yourself that kind of a house. If you build yourself or buy for yourself a house that has a garden, you are going to enjoy and have fun. You're the one going to have barbecues in the garden You're the one going to chill and be happy outside, that when the weather is nice, you'll be outside enjoying and having fun with your family, have a playground, etc. It's all dependent on the kind of house that you build. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yes.
So you see that all your experiences are actually determined by the kind of house that you build for yourself. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the church is the house of God.
Amen.
And depending on what kind of house we build, we will have great experiences. We're going to enjoy if we build the right kind of house. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If we do not build the house, you know, when you don't build the house, when you don't invest into the house, when you don't work to put the house together. I mean, I believe that this church used to meet in some other place. At least the last place I came to, it was a very tight place. Do you remember that place? Or maybe you guys have forgotten so soon. How many were in that place? Yes, right? I don't know. Was it like a hallway or something? There was some place that, I mean, to get to the place, you enter a door and then you go round some place and round some. You can actually get lost in trying to find your church. Hallelujah. Yeah. But now look, as you came into this place, the same church is having a different experience, isn't it? In the other church, you couldn't have all these fancy things you have tied on your seats. I didn't see any of those there when I came there, isn't it? I mean, Pastor Paul, touch it. I'm talking about that net. Yeah, right there. Real fancy stuff. I didn't see any of this over there. I didn't see any TV screens in that place. No. Was there a TV screen in that other place? Huh? There was one. There was one there. A tiny one. Not these ones. There was a tiny one there. Really? How tiny? Like my iPad. Yeah. So can you see that? Can you guys see that the church is the same? The house has changed. The experiences have changed. Do you see what I'm saying? The church is the same church. It's still Lighthouse Chapel International. But because we built the house, the way we feel about the same church has changed. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And I want to say to you during this convention that God has commissioned us to build a church for Him. Amen. God is building a church. The most important thing that we must do is to join God in what He's doing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Let's read a verse, Matthew chapter 16. Let's read Matthew chapter 16. And let's start reading from verse 13. Matthew chapter 16 and from verse 13. Well, since you are into screens, I want to say there's one more screen you need to get. You need to get one small screen that stands here so that the preacher can also read it. What do you think? Or are you going to put it at the back? If you put it at the back, well, you can put it at the back. You can put... But if you put it at the back, it needs to be this large. Do you see? Well, wherever you put it. But I think that you can just get a very small one that stands here, since it's for the preacher only. Right? Just a small one, and then he can read it. Anyway, but I brought my Bible, so I can read. Amen. Are you still with me? Look, I've almost finished preaching. Just pay attention and we'll be through. Amen. All right. Look, Matthew chapter 16 and from verse 13, it says, when Jesus arrived in the villages of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, "What are people saying about who the Son of Man is?" Right? They replied, "Some think he's John the Baptizer." You know, this is a Message translation. Can you change it to maybe the King James Version or the New King James Version? Okay. All right. "He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am?" Do you understand this English? Okay. All right. "And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ." Can you see that? "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then verse 17. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Amen. May the Father reveal something to you during this meeting. Amen. Right now, verse 18 is the verse you want. It says, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Hallelujah. I will do what? Build my church. Everybody say, build my church. Say, build my church. Right. It says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. Amen. Say, I will build my church. Say, I will build my church. Now, this is Jesus speaking, and Jesus says, I will build my church. So if you want to be an imitator of Jesus, you should also be saying, I will build my church. Hallelujah. He said, I will build my church. You see, as far as I'm concerned, what God is doing is building his church. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God is not trying to make you rich. That's not his aim. God's aim is not trying to make you rich. That's not what God is trying to do. God is trying to build his church. Do you understand? God is trying to build his church. And if in the process of building his church and following him and serving him, you become rich and so on, praise the Lord. But that is not what God is trying to do. Are you following what I'm saying? You see, you need to make a distinction between the main thing someone is trying to do and then the side effects of what they're trying to do. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you see someone, you go to someone's house and they're trying to light a fire to make their barbecue, and in the process they create smoke, you can't say that they are trying to make smoke. Are you following what I'm saying? They are not trying to make smoke. That's not their aim. They are trying to light a fire to make a barbecue. Now, if in the process smoke comes out, that is great. But that's not what they are trying to do. Are you following what I'm sharing with you? So, God is not trying to make you rich. That's not what God is trying to do. God is trying to build his church. All other aims are secondary to what God is doing. Hallelujah. And you must know what God's aim is. And I know that in today's world, some kind of preaching or a certain way of preaching and talking actually makes it feel like this is what God is trying to do. Do you see what I'm saying? In fact, when your pastor said to me, we're having a more than you can carry convention, I started to think, more than you can carry of what? What exactly are you trying to carry? Do you understand? But you realize that in today's world, people are excited more about preaching that tends towards you having more material things. Do you understand? Yeah, people want more than they can carry. You want more money than you can carry. You want more cars than you can carry. You want more houses than you can carry. I don't know if you want more wives and husbands than you can carry also. Why do you want more wives than you can carry? Or more husbands than you can carry? When you are struggling with one. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So you will see that today's preaching tends more towards, you know, what God can do for you. Do you understand? What God will give to you. A lot of people today run to church because of the promise of what God will give to them. Do you understand? So the most popular churches today are the churches that have those type of preaching. You know? And that is why many people fall prey to all kinds of false doctrines and false gimmicks and all kinds of things. Because we're tuned towards, you know, what God can do for us. Hallelujah. We're tuned towards what we can get out of God. And such preaching excites us. Hallelujah. But Jesus said, I will build my church. He's building his church. And he has not changed the plan. What do you think? He has not changed the plan. He's building the church. And I want to say to you that the greatest wisdom is to build the house of God. Amen. Amen. The greatest wisdom is to build the house of God. The greatest wisdom is to build the church. Hallelujah. In our normal lives, the richest people are the people who own houses. Is it not true? Yeah. There must be a reason why a house is referred to as real estate. Have you thought about it? When you buy a car, nobody says you've bought real estate. Isn't it? When you buy more dresses and more clothes, no one says you've got real estate. Yeah. Because your suit cannot be real estate. How long does your suit live? When you buy yourself a pair of shoes, how long does it last? So it's a shame that there are a lot of us whose investment is in all these kinds of things. Just clothes and clothes and clothes. Clothes and shoes and clothes and shoes and clothes and shoes. Huh? Clothes, what? Shoes, what? Handbags. Huh? Shirts. Yeah. Yes. And it's not only a ladies thing. I know when you start talking about clothes and shoes, it almost sounds like you're mentioning female names. But the brothers also. Yeah. Yeah. I knew a brother who had the shirts. He has yellow, he has orange, he has green, and he has shoes to go with each one. Are you getting it? Yeah. But that is not real estate. I mean, a person's estate. Estate means his worth. Do you understand? When somebody dies, then they start to discuss his estate. That means what he actually left behind. Do you understand? Yeah. And usually that does not include your clothes. Are you getting what I'm saying? So a house is what they call real estate. And I'm saying that the spiritual parallel is also true. Do you understand? The spiritual parallel is also true, which is that unless we build the church, the house of God, which is a spiritual entity, we really don't have any real estate. Amen. Yes. You can have a few prayers answered. You can come to church, or, you know, someone pray for you a little bit or share with you something small and so on. little things here and there. It's like getting shoes and clothes and so on. But none of those things is real estate. Do you understand? She upset with me? Right. Amen. Are you still with me? Yeah. So the church is the real thing. Because everything is in the church. Amen. Everything comes from the church. When God wants to bless people, he first puts them in a church. Hallelujah. A church is where our lives begin. The church is the place where our lives will flourish. The church is the place. You know, I was reading a verse. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He says that Noah was warned by God. Noah, God told Noah about certain things that were yet to happen. Things that Noah had not yet seen. Do you understand? Things that are yet to happen. And he says that Noah actually believed it. And he moved with fear to build an ark. And the ark that he built actually ended up being the thing that saved his house. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. He says, no, that's why he says it's by faith, because Noah didn't really see it. I mean, can you imagine hearing today, someone tells you today that in a few weeks it's going to start raining and the rain will be nonstop. The rain will cover all of Florida. Every house will be submerged. Would you believe such a thing? No. The first thing you're going to do is to talk to the weather forecast people and ask them, do you see anything like this in the forecast? And they are going to use their satellites and different things to look and analyze what you're saying. And then they'll come up with a report and they'll say that you're crazy and that you're hallucinating. There's something wrong with you. And they'll go and check the history and they'll look at the weather and they'll look at the seasons. This is not even the rainy season. Yeah. And they'll tell you it's not going to happen. That is how Noah looked in his day. Noah looked like a man who was beside himself. He looked like someone who had lost it when he came up and started to build an ark and was building it. I can imagine there were reporters there every day looking at what he was doing. And then at news time on CNN, they would bring pictures of what the crazy man downtown is doing, you know. Yeah, and they would go, yes, they would go there and see what he's building. Sometimes they would go inside, take shots of it, and just to paint a more elaborate picture of his craziness. So for Noah to even believe it, it was by faith. Do you understand? It was by faith. Noah believed it. But then even by believing it, he says he was warned of God of things not yet seen. Things that he could not even relate with it. But he did it anyway. Wow. Hallelujah. He did it anyway. And only to find out that what he put together was actually the thing that would save his own house. I tell you. I read this verse just on my way here this evening and I felt so blessed by it. I said, wow, we don't even know what we're doing. We don't even know what we're doing. When God asks you to do something, you don't even know what you're doing. Hallelujah. Amen. The house of God is everything. Amen. 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 If we are wise, we will build the church. If we are smart, we will build the church. Yeah, if we are clever, that's what we will do. We will join Jesus in what he has chosen to do. Yeah, and Jesus says, I will build my church. 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 Not I will build your life. I will build my church. But you will find that the building of your life begins with building the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, Jesus told us the story of the Good Samaritan. Have you heard about the Good Samaritan? Jesus told us a story about the Good Samaritan and how a man was traveling between two cities, and this man had fallen. He fell among thieves, right? And the thieves beat him up and they stripped him of everything he had, and they left him by the wayside. Then a priest came to pass by and he didn't mind him. Then someone came, a Levite, also passed by and didn't mind him. But a good Samaritan came, and then he gave him first aid by the roadside. And then he took the man, because no one gets well on first aid. Do you understand? Yes. That is why even when you are sick and the ambulance comes for you, the aim is to take you to the hospital. And the closest one. Because an ambulance is a help. But an ambulance is not a hospital. Are you getting what I'm saying? What you need is a hospital. The church is a hospital. Do you understand? The church is a hospital. And that is why every developed society has hospitals. You build the hospitals. The church is God's hospital. Amen. And just as they took that man there and they took him to the inn to get well, God places his people in the inn, and the inn is the church. That is where we get well. I tell you, the church is everything. Yeah. I have come to understand that all my blessings, every blessing in my life, is linked somehow to the church. Yeah. I realize that even the people I know, the friends I have, my children's friends, everything is the church. Yes. Hallelujah. I met my wife in the church. Yes. Everything is the church. So you may underestimate your dependence on the church. That is why Jesus says we must build it. Are you understanding me? That we must build the church. Building the church is great wisdom. Hallelujah. Let me show you another verse. Psalm 65 and verse 4. Look at Psalm 65 and verse 4. Psalm 65 and verse number 4. Hallelujah. It says, blessed is the man, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may do what? He may dwell in thy courts. Isn't it? He may dwell in thy courts. Then it says, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house. Did you see that? It says, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house. So it means the courts, the reference to the courts there is actually the house of God. Isn't it? Yes. He says, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Look at it carefully. The Bible says when God chooses someone and causes that person to approach and to come to his courts, that person is blessed. Amen. Your blessing begins with your invitation to church. Just the fact that someone would invite you to come to church, the Bible says you're already blessed. Isn't it? Yeah, there are certain places, if you receive an invitation to go there, you know that you're already blessed. Isn't it? Yes. You know that if somebody told you that he has been invited to have lunch at the White House this weekend, immediately you will say he's blessed. That's even before you know what's on the menu. It doesn't even matter. Isn't it? Yeah, you know, it doesn't matter. It's the place. It's the fact that you have the opportunity to go to such a place that immediately we can start calling you blessed. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. Blessed is the man. Blessed. See, the word blessed is a word that is so frequently used that a lot of people don't even think about it and think about what it means. But when you are blessed, it means you are fortunate. Are you getting what I'm saying? If we were looking for a street word for blessed, we would choose the word lucky. I think lucky is a word everyone understands, isn't it? What does it mean to be lucky?
When chance comes to your favor.
When chance comes to your favor, right? That's even more complex. That's still complex. When chance comes to your favor, what does it mean? It means you're lucky. It means you are favored. You are fortunate, isn't it? Yes. What? You may not deserve it. It means you didn't work for it. Something good has happened to you, and you just come into some goodness. Unmerited favor. That's when you say someone is lucky. Yeah? Now, the Bible says when God chooses you, and he causes you to approach unto him so that you will come and dwell in his house, it means that you are lucky. You've been favored. Are you getting what I'm saying? It means you've been favored. But many people don't think so. Many people don't look at the church experience as a blessing. They think of it in terms of routine, yes. A bother. A hassle. Yeah. That's why people dodge their pastor. They hide. People try to hide from their pastor. I know some people who even give the pastor the wrong phone number. Yeah. See, some young ladies, a guy, a stranger you don't know, ask for your number and you give him the right number. Then your pastor who is with you, he asks for your number and you say 222-7745. Even a number you can't even repeat. When the pastor says pardon, you just give him a second number, which is totally different from the first one. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you understanding my message tonight?
Yes.
The Bible says you are blessed when God chooses you, you know, to approach unto him, that he says that you may dwell in his courts. Do you understand? To dwell in his courts means to become a member of the church. To dwell in his courts. It says you will have become a member of the church and you are a blessed person when you dwell in God's courts. You are blessed when you live there. Now, people who live in a place are different from people who visit a place. Yeah. Tonight, there's a difference between you and I. We are both in Miami, but you are dwellers and I'm a visitor. And that makes a difference, isn't it? Yes. One of the differences is you get to have a Florida driver's license and I don't. If I asked for one, they're going to ask me for proof of residence. Say, prove to me that you live here. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah? So there are some privileges and some blessings that come only to those who dwell in the place. That is why the Bible says you are blessed when God chooses you that you may dwell in his courts. And then he says you will be satisfied with the goodness of his house.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. You will be satisfied with the goodness of his house. You will be satisfied with the goodness of his house.
Amen.
How many know that satisfaction is the result of a process? See, satisfaction is a word that is associated with eating, isn't it? It's often associated with eating. When someone says, I'm satisfied, they usually mean they are full. Now, to get to a place of being full is usually not from taking a muscle or two. Isn't it? But rather what? A committed engagement with the food that is in front of you. And to keep going up and down and up and down and up and down from your mouth to the plate until you get to the place called satisfied. Isn't it? Yeah. The Bible says you will be satisfied with the goodness of his house. God has a plan to satisfy you. One day you will find out you are okay. One day you will find out that problem is solved. One day you will find out that challenge is healed. One day you will find out that sickness is not there anymore. You will be satisfied with the goodness of his house. There is goodness in God's house. There is goodness in God's house. It is a blessing to be in God's house. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is why we must build God's house. Build the church. Hallelujah. Are you understanding it? Look at Psalm number 27. Psalms number 27 and verse 4. Psalms 27 and verse 4. Have you found Psalm 27 and verse 4? It says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Hallelujah. One thing have I desired of the Lord. This is a king, King David. He said, I've asked God for one thing. Now, if God was to come to you and ask you to ask him for one thing. Can you imagine if you went to bed tonight? Maybe you need to think about it because it may happen. If you were to go to bed tonight and an angel came to you, I know most of you will run away anyway, but for those of you who survive, and the angel of the Lord said, is that Lemda? Wow. Listen, the angel of the Lord came to you and said, I want you to just ask for one thing. What would you ask for? You see, you are just giving me the correct answer. God knows that's not what's on your mind. Yeah? Someone said they'll ask for an iPhone. Yeah? And I don't blame you, because that's what looks important to you. Do you understand? Yeah. See, it may look or sound very funny to you, but you also, what you have on your mind, that is how funny it sounds to the Lord. Because there are some people who will ask for a job. So one thing, if God came to them and asked them to ask for one thing, they would just say, Lord, just give me a good job. Yeah. Some people will say, Lord, just give me good health. Who will say that? Good health, yeah. Some people said, good husband. Yeah. Because A1. Husband is one of those things, you get one if it's not the right one. Man. You're done for. Okay. Somebody said the other day that marriage is a prison. And the person said that said the wedding ring is the smallest handcuff that was ever made. And then the third thing the person said is that you must choose your cellmate wisely. Since you're going to be in jail for life, you must choose your cellmate wisely. So some people would ask for a good cellmate. If an angel of the Lord came and asked for one thing, some people would just choose a good cellmate. Lord, just give me someone who can be in this cell with me peacefully for a long time. So many different things we would ask for. But when David had a chance to ask for one thing, he knew how to ask for the one thing that comes with everything. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. See, some people don't know how to ask for the one thing that comes with everything. Yeah. But David was clever. You see, it's not like David didn't have problems. You see, David was a king. And kings, leaders, presidents, they have a lot of problems. They have a lot of issues. Yeah. Imagine, yes, if you like, you ask President Obama. If an angel of the Lord was to come to President Obama to ask him to ask for one thing, what do you think he will say? ISIS. Sort out ISIS now. What about an extra term in office? You don't think he wanted it? You don't think he'll want an extra term in office? He should get rid of Donald Trump. Hallelujah. But you can see that kings have things they could ask for. But David said, you know, the one thing that I want from you, Lord, is the house. Hallelujah. The one thing that I want from you is that I want to dwell in your house. Hallelujah. Not for 2 months, isn't it? Dwell in the house of the Lord for how long? All the days of my life. Yeah, I just want to be in your house. There must be a reason why someone like David would think that the best thing to choose is to choose belonging to the house of the Lord forever. The house of the Lord must mean something. What do you think? Yeah. It says to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Amen. Amen. Look at David again, 122, Psalm 122. We're just closing Psalm 122. Tomorrow we're going to continue, but says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's not every place that everyone is glad to go to, isn't it? Yeah. Some people get a very sickly feeling when they remember that tomorrow is Monday. Especially after a long holiday weekend like the one coming up. When you go to work and finish on Thursday and you get Friday off and you get Saturday and you get Sunday and get Monday off. And then Monday around 5 p.m. you remember that the next day you're going back to work. Who knows what I'm talking about? Yes. You don't like that feeling, isn't it? He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There must be a reason. Listen to me. Listen. If you don't have such feelings about going to the house of the Lord, then there is a secret about the house of the Lord that David knew that you don't.
Thank you.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? You are missing something. You're missing something. Because if David said, I was glad. I mean, when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord, I was really glad. David must know something about the house of the Lord that you may be missing. Look at the next verse. The next verse. Verse 2. He said, our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Verse 3. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Right? Jerusalem stands for the church. Right? And he said that Jerusalem is like a city that is compact together. Right? Then the next verse, verse 4. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. Verse 5. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee.
Wow.
Did you see that? He says, pray for what? The peace of Jerusalem. He says, pray that Jerusalem is established. Pray that the church will flourish. Pray that the church will be strong. In other words, let us build the church.
Amen.
And he says, they shall prosper that love the church.
Amen.
Yeah. It says they will prosper and flourish who love the church.
Amen.
Amen. Can you understand that?
Yes.
Is there a next verse? Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. Did you see that? Peace be within thy walls. There is peace in the church.
Amen.
You will start to know peace when you start to build the church.
Amen.
And you will start to know true prosperity. Do you understand? When you start to build the church. We are talking about real prosperity. Hallelujah. Yeah. Real prosperity comes from building the house of God. See, prosperity is mysterious. Prosperity is very mysterious. Have you not noticed that? Especially if you've been working for a while. You can't help but conclude that if you keep going at this rate, will you ever be prosperous? Yeah? No, you just take your age. And then you take the job that you are doing, and you look at what you're getting out of it, and see how long more you have left to live. And it's very an easy calculation to make that if things continue to go at this rate, will you ever be prosperous? Yeah. And it's the same story for everyone.
Yeah,
even though we don't all do the same thing, we don't all earn the same income. It's the same story. Yeah? That no one ever prospers from a salary. There's no one who has become wealthy from what they earn every month. No matter what you earn. Huh? No, you just think about it. There is nobody, if you find anybody called a rich person, you go ask him and you realize it doesn't have anything to do with what he earns every month. Prosperity is a blessing from the Lord. The Bible says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. When God blesses someone, that person can become rich. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is the blessing of the Lord that makes people rich. Yeah, it is not working at so and so place or studying so and so course or doing so and so. That's not what. All those things are important. See, you need an education. Do you understand? Education is very important. You need an education, but that's not what makes people prosperous. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. You can work multiple jobs. You work 2-3 jobs. Your wife works 2-3 jobs. You don't even see each other. You see each other once a month. Do you understand? You can send everybody in your house to work. Your dog has a job. Your cat has a job. Everyone has a job. And you still realize. Yeah. You share the bills among all the people in the house. So you pay as little as possible, hoping to have more money left. And you still don't become prosperous. Prosperity is within his palaces. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Is there another verse? Because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek thy good. Right? I will seek thy good. Unto thee lift I up my eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Well, that's Psalm 123. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I shared with you? Then let's read one last Psalm. Psalm 84. Psalm 84. It says, how amiable. You see, amiable is just an old word for lovely. Do you understand? Yeah. Next time you want to tell a lady you look lovely, just say, how amiable you look. She won't understand it. She'll be very impressed. She'll be so impressed because she doesn't understand what it means. Say, how amiable is your face? It says, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Right? My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Did you see that? Yes. Verse 3. Yea, the sparrow has found a house. And the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Did you see that? Where is it? He said, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Hallelujah. Amen. David said that it's like when I find or when I go to church, I feel like a sparrow that has found a place to build her nest. Yeah. Birds don't build a nest everywhere. They build a nest in a place where they consider safe and secure. You know, recently, I was just looking. There's a small bush outside, you know, my living room window. There's just a small bush there. And I was just looking, standing inside the house and just looking at it. I think I was even on the phone, just talking to someone. So I kept looking there. Then I saw something move. So I looked closely and I realized that a bird had made a nest there and was sitting on her eggs trying to hatch them. And, you know, it was so beautiful to me. I actually went, I got my phone. I came to take a photo of it and took a second photo. I didn't realize the bird didn't like that. Well, then a few days later, you know, when I would go there every day and look at it, I would go just there. I felt to have some... It was like to have some wildlife come near me. This is really nice. And I would look at it every day. But I think the more I looked at it, the more insecure the bird felt. One day, I was just looking again. Then I saw that the babies had actually hatched. Yeah, and now there were about three or four of them, you know, and they were all in the bush. But on this particular day, when I looked at the thing, a certain look on the mother's face told me that this is the last time you're going to see us here. Yeah. So even though I had a lot of good intentions, I was even thinking of how I can feed them, you know, but the mother didn't feel secure. The next day, I went out of the house. This time I didn't look at it from inside the house. I went outside to go and get a real feel. Can you believe the bed was gone? The nest was gone. Everything was gone. Yeah, she moved. She packed out everything. Found a new apartment somewhere and just moved. Yes. She didn't like this creature staring at it every day. I would go there and look at it every day. And she made up her mind to leave. Hallelujah. Because birds need to feel secure. Do you understand? David said that when it comes, the church of God is to me what a sparrow finds in where she places her nest. And that is your altars. Hallelujah. A place of security. Hallelujah. He said that what a sparrow finds in that place is what I have found in your house. Hallelujah. Verse 4, he says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. Think about it. Why do you have to comb all around looking for blessing? The Bible says blessings are for those that dwell in the house of the Lord. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. Blessed are they that dwell in the house. Say with me, blessed are they that dwell in the house, since they will still be praising thee. Hallelujah. So it goes on and on, but just jump to verse 10. Verse 10. He says, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. Did you see that? He said, one day, just one day in the house of God is better than a thousand. Do you know a thousand days? How many days make a year? Is it still 365? It's 366 sometimes. Okay. So 365 or 66 days make 1 year. So a thousand days is about what? About 3 years? Yeah? About 3 years. Right. So he says, one day in the courts, one day in the house of the Lord is comparable with 3 years of your life somewhere else. Yeah. And I know that is true. I know that one day in church can erase the effect of the last 3 years. Yeah. Yeah. You just take the last 3 years of your life and everything that has not worked out in the last 3 years, one day in the house of God can just fix that. Yeah. One day in the house of God can fix that. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. And if that is true, then the opposite is true too. That sometimes when you miss one day in the church, it can cost you 3 years of your life. Yes. Something you didn't hear in the church. Have you ever heard someone say, I wish I knew this? Have you ever heard someone say, I wish I knew this 3 years ago? Yeah. What did they know? It's just one statement, just something. One fact, one piece of knowledge. Yes. When it was shared, they were not there. Oh. So they missed it. And that has sent them running around for 3 years. Yeah. I hear it often. I hear people say, you know, I wish I knew what you're saying now. I wish someone had told me this 5 years ago. I wish someone had told me this 2 years ago. It's a very common thing you hear. I wish I knew this. I wish I had seen this. I wish I had met you. You hear people say that. Hallelujah. That's why David said, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. I'd rather be the doorkeeper. I don't want to be any important person in the house of the Lord. He said, if I can just get to be even the doorkeeper in the house of my God, I'll prefer that than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? There are some of us who go to nightclubs. We like to go to parties. We like to go to a place where there is the semblance of fun. It looks like people are having fun. It looks like that. But David said that I'd rather be in the house of God, just at the door. If I can just get to be at the door, let's just be one of the ushers in the church. Yeah? Sometimes you don't respect ushers. But David said, I'd rather choose even ushering in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, I just want to say to you tonight that there is no better engagement than building the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There is no better engagement than building the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. When you build the house of the Lord, you are now investing in real spiritual estate.
Amen.
Do you understand? We now have real estate. Real, an estate, something that is real. All the other things you do may bring some temporary benefits and some temporary blessings, but none of those things is real. Hallelujah. None of those things is real. There's nothing that you're doing that cannot collapse just by one little thing moving out of its place. Yeah, just one little thing moving out of this. Do you remember just last week when they voted in the UK to leave the European Union? Suddenly everything came tumbling down. Yeah. Even their soccer team was losing their match. Those of you who've been following soccer. Yeah, even the England team was just losing. Yeah. And I was somewhere and thinking, you know, it's amazing how many, you see, the whole thing, all of life is like an arrangement of blocks. This is sitting on this, and that is sitting on that, and that is sitting on that. Then you remove this. When you remove this, suddenly everything comes tumbling down. So some of us are holding on to jobs. Do you understand? And it's everything to you, but you don't understand that one small thing just leaves it. Suddenly everything just comes tumbling down. Yeah. The only true, real estate is the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. The only true, real estate is the house of the Lord. And so we must build the house.
Amen.
We must build this church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If we build this church, you will be blessed by the church.
Amen.
I told you, the kind of house you build will determine the things you enjoy. Yeah. If you build a very funny looking house that leaks, when it rains, you're going to find that you will be in bed. Can you imagine lying in bed and then having what some kind of water just dropping on your face? Yes, that's the house you built. Hallelujah. But we're going to build a mega church. I said we're going to build a mega church. We're going to build a great church right here in Miami. Do you believe it? We're going to build a great solid church right here in Miami. By the grace of God.
Amen.
God is going to help us to do it. I said, God is going to help us to do it. God is going to help us. And you are going to join to build that great house. Because this is the greatest wisdom. Let me ask you, if you heard that Jesus was in town and was building a house somewhere, wouldn't you go to help him? Are you sure? If you heard that Jesus was in Fort Lauderdale and was actually building a house, he's building something over there, wouldn't you go and help Jesus? Yes. He said, I will build my church. That's what Jesus is doing. He's building his church. He's building his church. He's building his church. He's building his church. So why don't you join him? Amen. Join him. Join him. Join him. Instead of trying to build something for yourself, just join him. Everybody is blessed by joining someone to do something. That's how we earn income. Everybody earns an income from helping someone build something. Is it not true? Yes. Do you know anybody who earned an income from doing something for themselves? One of the most laughable concepts is the concept of self-employment. I work for myself. You work for yourself? You work for yourself? Do you know anybody who earns an income from working for yourself? You try it. You're a nurse. Is there any nurse here? Yeah. Odette. Just try. Go to the hospital tomorrow. Don't touch any patient. Just take your own temperature. Just all day you just take your temperature. After every 30 minutes you take it again. And then you record it. That is the true definition of working for yourself. To work for yourself means what you do for others, you do it for yourself. Yeah. Just do that all day. And see how much you earn at the end of the day. There is no one who ever earned an income just doing stuff for themselves. And it's called income. Income means something comes into you. Something comes to you. That means nothing comes to you except when you do something for yourself, for someone else. Yeah. Lemda, you are a pharmacist. Why don't you just go to the pharmacy and just swallow all the pills yourself? Yes. Just swallow them. Yeah. Just eat the pills for breakfast, eat some for lunch. Yes, white ones, yellow ones, blue ones. You just measure them. Then you make the prescription. You just make your own prescription and you just write it, put your name on it. Then you say, take this tablet, 2 tablets, 3 times a day with food. Nobody gets anything for just doing things for themselves. Everyone gets something by helping someone else achieve their goals. And that's how you get something for yourself. So if that is true in normal life, don't you think that could be true spiritually? That when you help him do what he's doing, which is to build his house, can you not see how you can expect that he will bless you? Because you helped him to do something. Yes. If it's true naturally, it must be true spiritually. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So we're going to build this church. I said we're going to build this church. Do you believe it? How many are going to join us? We build the church. We're going to build the church. We're going to build a mega church in this place. This is a very large city with so many people. As I was flying today, I was just admiring the city, you know. because the plane sort of has a way of gliding around the city and then eventually goes over the ocean to make a U-turn and approach the runway. Yeah, so I was just enjoying it as the plane was just, I said, wow, this is a really big city. Really big city. Too large to have this type of a church or this size of a church here. So we're going to build a church. Amen. How many are going to join to build? We're going to build a mega church. Real estate. Real estate is to build the house of God. When you join Jesus to build his house, don't be surprised if he helps you build your house. Yeah. Some of us, our houses are coming apart. Even what you thought you were holding together is falling apart. The man who said he loves you, he still says he loves you, but now the meaning of love has changed. Your children are starting to get out of hand and out of control. Your house is coming apart. But I'm saying that if you will help Jesus build his house, he will help you build your house. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Stand to your feet tonight and let's bring the service to a close. We're going to continue tomorrow. Are you going to come back tomorrow?
Yes.
So should I come?
Yes.
Okay. All right. If you're going to come, then I'll come. All right. Just bow your heads, everybody. Let's pray. Bow your heads and let's pray. Let's pray. I want you to pray for the church. Just play something for us. And I want everybody to pray. Just talk to God about the church and say, Lord, help me build your church, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Makabolo moshatala malaba satari alaba kandari alaba baya. Sotoli makandari alaba boshandari alaba baya. Jesus. 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 Come on, just pray and say, Lord, I want to help to build your house. Because it is great wisdom to build your house. It is great wisdom to build something that will house me, something that will cover me, something that will protect me, something that will be security for me. He said, a sparrow has found a nest where she may lay her young. A sparrow has found her nest in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.